turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 1, verse 10. That's good. Of Hypocritical Faith, part 2, The Lost Souls of Black Folk and White Folk, part 31. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? To what purpose is all of your singing and dancing and running down the aisle and slapping money on the altar? To what purpose is it that you show up in church to raise your hands, which are unholy and unclean and ungodly and evil and wicked and vindictive? Hands that have stolen the money of others, hands that have defrauded others, hands that have hurt others, with a tongue that has lied to others. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of burnt offerings. That means I don't want any more, because there's no purpose to it. Basically, God was saying, I am fed up. Have you ever heard your grandmother or your mother or your father say, I'm fed up to hear. I don't want any more of your mess. Have you ever been fed up with people's hypocrisy, people's phoniness, and you just one day ran back and said, listen, sit down, let me tell you something. And you went ahead and just terminated the situation, terminated the relationship, because the person is nothing but a liar and a thief. And a devil. A Judas. A betrayer. A backstabber. You know, these people who smile in your face and they go right, and you already know what they said about you to somebody else. Hypocrites. These are not road dogs. These are not Ace Boon Coons. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand, to tread my courts, bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. Basically, God is saying your incense stinks. You try to, you know, it's just like a person, a hypocrite is like a person who puts on cologne, but they don't take a bath. They still stink, and the cologne makes it worse, or the perfume makes it worse. There's nothing more disgusting than a person who puts on perfume but does not take a shower. That's what a hypocrite is like. Everybody knows that's bad. Everybody knows that's disgusting. Most smart people don't do that. There's something wrong when you put on a whole bunch of perfume but don't take a shower. Don't bathe yourself. Don't put on cologne. It's a bad odor. You think you smell good, but you stink to other people. Just like a hypocrite, they think they look good, but they stink. People get fed up with hypocrites very quickly. Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, all these conferences, all these meetings, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. That's iniquity too, because it's filled with hypocrites, liars, cheats, phonies. As I said last night, people who love everybody in the church, but they don't love their own family. They can speak to everybody in the church, they can visit with everybody in the church, but they can't visit their own family. They can't say, I love you, to their own family members, to their own children. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. You have killed. You have murdered. You have stabbed. Too many people. And one is too many. I feel sorry for a young man today. He didn't know that his father-in-law wanted to kill him, but his father-in-law, who is a preacher, or was a preacher, knew he wanted to kill him and have him killed, and was willing to dispose of the body. This is in the church now. An evangelical church, a Bible-believing church. And it was sad today when a video was made of this person who had sought to get his son-in-law killed. You must understand, the son-in-law does not, he didn't know that his father-in-law wanted him dead. And I felt sorry for him because he was being used in a video. I believe the person who wanted him killed was trying to say to the world, say, see, I didn't want to kill nobody. The thing about killing people is that you normally don't tell them that you want to kill them. This is happening in the church. People are killing folk even in the church and talking about it in Bible-believing, so-called evangelical churches. And he's not the only one. I believe this lady was kidding. I give her some slack, but she got in the pulpit defending her preacher friend and said, I want everybody to know, or tell the newspapers that's reporting all of this stuff, I cut people. By the grace of God, we need to at least get away from violence as Christians. And let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We give you all of the glory and the praise and the honor for allowing us to be here in this late night service. For Lord, we want to go to bed tonight having been with you. It's been a long journey today, a strange journey as well. The devil is fighting against us. The devil, as you know, is mad at us because we won't quit preaching the gospel and preaching your holy word several times a day. And so, Holy Father God, we acknowledge our nothingness. Without you, at this late hour, we individually confess our sins, our failures, and our faults. For Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us and cleanse us of all of our sins. Cleanse our hearts, our minds, souls, spirits, and consciences through the precious blood of Christ, afresh and anew. Crucify our flesh and the old man within us all, and fill us all afresh and anew with the fullness, the power, the unction, and the anointing of your Holy Spirit once again. Not only to preach to the saints, but most importantly, Lord, tonight to preach the gospel to those who are lost. For some are listening in England, and some are listening in Germany, some are listening in Saudi Arabia. And I think it's approaching 6 o'clock in the morning in England, and across Africa and Kenya and Nigeria, the Philippines, different time zone. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would not give people rest until they repent of their sins and trust Christ as Savior. Demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit. We can't do it. We have tried and we have failed. Lord, we understand that we cannot do it without you, for it is not by might nor by power, your word tells us, but by your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we know that if you don't show up, if you don't visit with us, and if you don't visit with the people, nothing lasting will happen here tonight. We know the devil is busy and fighting in strange ways. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, please rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his hosts, and the satanic spirit of Judas, betrayal, and sabotage, and foolishness, Lord, from this place, and from the hearts and minds and lives of the people. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray for over 3 million souls to come to know you as Savior. Through this ministry alone, millions more through other ministries. And we pray for over 3 million saints to be revived again and back to their first love, our first love, and that is you. In Jesus Christ, the holy name, we pray and for his sake. Amen. And Lord, help me not to keep the people long tonight, as it is already late. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, I thank God for all of you who are hanging with me in this late night service. And I want to ask you to pray for me. Call my name out before the Lord as we pray for many people here. And we're glad to do it. Please pray for me as well. Pray for the power and the strength to continue to preach the gospel. Dr. Jeremy Taylor said the Pharisees minded what God spoke, but not what he intended. Oftentimes, they were busy in the outward work of the hand, but incurious of the affections and choice of the heart. So God was served in the letter. They did not much inquire into his purpose, and therefore they were curious to wash their hands, but cared not to purify their hearts. And that's how so many of us are today in the church. We like to look good on the outside, and oh, we look great today. Thank God for the new health kicks that are going on, and the church is catching on. I preached a whole series about the sin of gluttony, the acceptable sin, Christian sin of gluttony, and people are doing much better today by the grace of God than we have done in the past. And almost everybody looks so good, and that is good. But I think that we need to be prayerful, and we need to be careful that we don't get too caught up with that to the point where we're more concerned about looking good on the outside, but we don't look good on the inside. There is nothing more ugly than a beautiful person on the outside, but they're ugly as sin on the inside. Can I get somebody to say amen? There's nothing more disgusting, nothing more sad, nothing more disturbing than a pretty ugly woman. And I'm sure there are millions of women who will say a handsome, ugly man looking good on the outside, but a monster on the inside. And God will not have it. And he will not walk with you if you're that way, if you're wearing a mask. You look good and smell good on the outside. You're so pretty, sir, you get your nails done with the women, and your hands all rubbed and scrubbed. You're so pretty, sir, that you put a mask on with avocado on your face with the women. But ugly as the devil on the inside. And that is, there is nothing more like death itself, Solomon said, than a fine woman, a beautiful woman. But as soon as she opens her mouth and displays her attitude, there's nothing more disgusting, nothing more painful. More painful, Solomon said, than death. He said, I find more bitter than death the woman. He's talking about the unvirtuous woman. Focus on that. And so, ladies and gentlemen, in our last message, we began looking at the dangerous tendency toward hypocrisy in the church. A Bonner survey indicates that as 51% of self-identified Christians in America exhibit attitudes and actions that are more in line with the Pharisees. My God, help us. Than with Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Isaiah found the same thing to be true among the children of Israel in his day. Many served God through doing, but few had their hearts right with him. And so it is today in too many churches. There is a lot of activity for God and religiosity towards God, and very little of God working through the people by His grace, and oftentimes in many churches, and I would venture to say most churches, God is not even there. They have their perfect little program. They have their little guest speaker, and they go right on without God. I believe God, Jesus is outside knocking at the door of many churches trying to get in. We must remember, beloved, it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. It's not about us, it's about God. I know it's a mystery. I know it might be hard for you to understand, particularly if you're young in the faith. But the older saints know how this thing works. God does it all, and He gets all of the glory. But somehow He uses us in the midst. Or rather, in the mix. Somehow God gives us the privilege, gives us the joy of having a small part in His grand evangelistic enterprise. We all know that we don't do much to have a baby and raise the baby. Is and provide for the baby. We know that God is the unseen hand doing it all, but giving us the privilege and the joy and the blessing of having a small part. Stop thinking that that's your baby, that's your child. That's God's child. And you better get an understanding of that very quickly. God just used you to bring that human being into the world. That's why you don't have the right to kill that child. And I'm not going to get into that right now. Pastor Mark Clark, in his fine book, The Problem of God Answering a Skeptic's Challenges to Christianity, identifies similarities between the church of today and the rebellious Israelites described in this passage. You might recall many weeks ago, by the grace of God, I started this whole thing by way of introduction, reminding you that God wants the church to learn from the failures and the mistakes of the Israelites. He said as much in the New Testament itself. I read that to you in your hearing. And so that's why we're in the Old Testament. Because we can learn from the Israelites. We can look in the mirror of the Word and see ourselves, even in the Old Testament. Brother Andy, churches are filled with people who attend every Sunday service, don't say bad words, don't watch bad movies, and make sure to give their offering every week, and even tithe sometimes. However, they don't actually know love. They don't actually know love or walk with God at all. They have simply adopted a cultural Christianity, an exoskeleton of religious trappings, end of quote. Is that you? You use the church, but you don't love the church. You go just so that you can be seen, and who you can see, trying to be cute, posing like you're so into God, you hypocrite. Posing like you're so into it for the Lord. You're so down with the Lord, but you're cutting your eye at Bo Peep over there in the corner. Cutting your eye at Sylvia over there, fine Sylvia, trying to get you your Sunday morning hug. You devil, you. It's disgusting. If it's disgusting to other human beings, you know it's disgusting to God. The Israelites thought that, and by the way, if Mama, Big Mama and them over in the corner, in the mother's corner, they don't like it. And may God help them to start cutting some of this foolishness out in the church before somebody gets killed, before somebody gets hurt. The old mothers of the church used to call down these little fast women running around the church trying to be cute in front of the reverend, in front of the deacons. And then these whoremongering men who come to church just to fish. Hypocrites, phonies, fakes, mask wearers, masquerading as Christians. Paul warned us about it in Ephesians. Ladies and gentlemen, the Israelites thought they could get by with doing things for God, as so many of us think today. It's about what we do for God. It is not about what we do for God. It is about what God does through us. It's not about our agenda. It's about His agenda. But God is much less interested in what we do for Him than He is in how we do those things for Him. Are we doing them motivated by Him? Did He send us? Did He tell us to do it? Is it for His glory and His praise and His honor for real? Are the prayers truly for His glory, His praise, and His honor? He knows, and you know. God knows if it is real, and you know if it is real. You might give God $1 million, but if He isn't pleased, But He isn't pleased if you've given your heart to sin and idolatry. You can keep your $1 million. He'd rather have your heart right. I've shared with you already how that I make sure I do it myself, and I tell others to their faces sometime, individually and collectively and in my preaching. You know, you just need to get your heart right. It's not just about the one sin that you're doing, or two or three. You're going to keep on doing this evil if you don't get your heart right with God. You know you're wrong. You know you're not sincere. You know, you're just going to that particular church to try to get a business deal, to try to get business. And it's so disgusting. And that ought to be barred from the church, by the way. Anyway, Dr. Matya goes on to say, the Israelites were as morally negligent as Sodom. That's bad for the Israelites to be just as immoral as Sodom and Gomorrah. Their offerings were meaningless to God because the Lord cannot bear hypocrisy. The Lord cannot bear wickedness coupled with religious activity. See, that's the stinking person who has not taken a shower in a while, putting on cologne and putting on perfume and putting on all kinds of powders and lotions. Oh, that's a stinking mess. That's how hypocrites look in the sight of God. That's how they smell in the sight of God. The hands they raised in prayer were blood-stained, the Bible talks about, from wrongdoing. The act, the ritual, divorced from its source in a heart grateful for redemption, and from its function in the obedient life, was meaningless and abhorrent to the Lord. End of quote. And I think that's where we are today in the church. And since it's so late tonight, I don't want to quit, but I'm going to quit right there. But let me say this to you, dear Christian friend. Three things you need to do in light of what I've already preached on tonight. Number one, confess and repent of your own sins. With God's help, make it real. Dig down deep. You already know what your sins are. Number two, pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ, starting with your own family, to confess their sins and repent, and to turn from their evil ways, and to get their hearts right with God, and to get back to their first love, including you. Then I want to add something else. Pray not only for souls to be saved, but pray to the Lord of the harvest to bring more soul winners into the harvest field. Obviously, only He can do it. Nobody else is doing it. Only God can do it, because He's the one who really has a burden for lost souls, as so many of us don't. Pray for souls to be saved also, and do your part by witnessing to the lost at any cost. Let's stand for prayer. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for this eventful and interesting and strange day, just passed. And thank you for all of the good that was accomplished. My hat is off to three young ladies who just showed out today. And this took up the slack. And a young man who did his part early so that he could watch over another project. And Lord, we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for getting us to this point. In spite of ourselves, Lord, have mercy and grace upon each and every one of us. And those who want to get their hearts right with you, help all of us to confess our sins and to repent of our sins and to turn from our evil ways. And Lord, we pray for brothers and sisters in Christ who may not be here tonight, that they would do the same. We pray to you, the Lord of the harvest, that you would send forth more laborers into the harvest field, including us. And Lord, we pray for the salvation of over 3 million souls through this ministry alone, 3 million Christians to be revived through this ministry alone, and we pray for millions more, billions more, to be saved through other ministries, discipled, baptized, joined with a Bible-believing church somewhere. Or they can continue with us if they're under persecution. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. Now, beloved, if you are with us tonight and you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him for salvation from sin and the eternal punishment of sin, which is hell. First, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws, His commandments. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. And Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a very real place. There are people in hell tonight. More people are going, unfortunately, but you don't have to go. Hell is bad news. Hell is a place of torment. Hell is a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Hell is a place of an agonizing memory of pain. Hell is bad news. But I have some good news for you tonight. You don't have to go to hell. You can go to heaven to be with God throughout eternity. God wants you there. That's the amazing thing. He wants us there. That's why He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. And that He was buried and rose on the third day. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," that includes you. Are you in the world? Then that includes you. You say, "Well, surely God can't save me. I've done some bad things." We all have. Welcome to the club. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." His name is Jesus Christ, and so Jesus Christ was speaking of Himself. Nobody can tell the story better than Jesus. That's why this verse is so famous around the world. That whosoever, that word whosoever means anybody at any time, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, that is, perish in hell, but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with Him. Pray and ask Him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and He will save your soul. He will do it. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou, you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you ready to be saved tonight? Are you ready to trust Christ? If you are, I am willing and ready to lead you in prayer, in a little prayer called the Sinner's Prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. This is the most important prayer you'll ever pray in your life. Follow me. phrase by phrase. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, that I have done evil in your sight, and that I have broken your Ten Commandments. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died for my sins, was buried, and rose again, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. And change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to truly repent of my sins past. And help me to turn from my evil ways and to follow you, Lord Jesus, for the remainder of my life. For it is in your name I pray, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. And Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, which, if the Lord tarries, is coming, and we live, will be tomorrow sometime. God loves you. We love you. And may God bless you real good, is my prayer. I don't know why Jesus loved me.